is to repeat the text today. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 to 31, 32. Today we are on the third part of our series on the life of Jacob, the third and final section concerning the life of Jacob. And in today's account, we have this true life story of how a man, which we believe to be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, in pre-incarnate form, wrestling together with Jacob. And this account is often misinterpreted and applied wrongly today. During the last section, we were talking about it. This section on wrestling with God, some people took it to mean that if you want blessing in life, then you will have to fight with God. Fight with all your might. Why? Because Jacob fought with God. Jacob prevailed with God, as what is written here. Jacob prevailed over God, prevailed against God, and God blessed Jacob. God rewarded Jacob. And some of these people will use this account of God to say that, look, from the very beginning of his life, Jacob employed deception and Jacob was rewarded for his deception. As a deceitful man, he received a lot of riches. He fought very hard for his blessing. So as Christians, let us learn to fight for our blessings. Even if that means we have to use white lies and deception. And these people who are teaching such things, they need not be people who are liberals, neo-evangelicals, or charismatics. They can be so-called fundamental and reformed pastors. Of course, sometimes this story is also often told in Sunday school. And it would be quite a disaster if this passage is interpreted wrongly and applied to children, because they will bring such principles to them throughout their whole life. So what is the meaning of this passage? Why did God include this account for us? Because over here, what we are going to see is really one of the climax of Jacob's life. This is the time when Jacob would be converted. Jacob would be converted, he will be renamed Israel, the Prince of God. A change will take place in his life, which will have an impact forever throughout all generations. Israel. Jacob is no longer the supplanter, but the Prince of God. A sinner converted. This account of Jacob wrestling really is a picture of how God wrestled with Jacob throughout his life. You see, before this account, we have learned before that Jacob was not born again. How do we know this? Like just for revision, let us turn back again to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, verse 20. And here God's word says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way, that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the thanks unto thee. If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. In other words, he is still not yet my God. Unless I see these conditions being fulfilled, then I will confess him as my God and my Savior. Now, I still don't want him to be my God. Oh, I may want his blessing. I may want the blessing of the land. I may want the blessing of which to be the land in which the Messiah will come. I want a great nation to be after me. But I don't want the spiritual responsibilities that come with his blessing. I want the covenant, but I do not want the covenantal responsibilities. So Jacob was not born again. And so we cannot use the life of Jacob even before this event to justify that he used deception in order to be blessed. That was what we learned last message. No such thing as blessed deception. Genesis chapter 29, the point where Laban managed to deceive the deceiver is proof that God is trying to teach Jacob, look, you want to go by deception, that is not the way. If you want to go by deception, know this, that for every person that deceives, there will always be somebody that is better than him in deception. Ishan Ayo, Ishan Ka. There's always a mountain higher than another mountain. And Jacob suffered the consequences of Laban's deception. Laban managed to keep secret his plan throughout the 7 years in which he worked for Rachel's marriage. He had no money to pay a dowry, he had to work for Laban. And at the end of it, at the end of 7 years, when there was the ceremony, behold, it was clear. And now he has to work another 7 years simply to marry Rachel. So when he agreed, after the week was ended, finally married Rachel. But then, the will of Jacob was still very strong. He still did not want to accept the Lord as his God and his Savior and his Master. And so, all the way until this incident, the Lord has to use various events in his life to break the will of Jacob. Throughout his stay with Laban, what Laban attempted to do was to change his wages. How many times did he attempt to change Jacob's wages? The Bible tells us 10 times. Imagine a master. You work for a master, an employer. And then the employer agree with you on a contract. And then the employer go ahead and try and change your wages 10 times without even telling you. What kind of employer is this? And yet, Jacob had to serve this kind of employer. Laban, who changed his wages 10 times without even telling him, deceiving him again and again, and attempted to deceive him. And so, Jacob attempted to counter Laban's deception with his own devices. And many times he tried things that, which according to men's wisdom, do not even make sense. And yet somehow it worked. And so Jacob thought that, oh, it's because of my own strength, because of my own manipulation that it worked. But God, step by step, whether through dreams, whether he spoke to him or through certain events that happened, make it very clear to him. All these things succeeded not because of your own wisdom, not because of your own manipulation, but because I was with you. I was the one who multiplied your flocks, and I was the one who gave you all the things that you have now. So the time came for Jacob to leave Laban, as ordered by God in the dream. He left. And by the time he came to Genesis 32, he now was about to meet with Esau. Just before verse 24, we have the account whereby he was coming towards the place where he used to dwell with his father. But Isaac wanted to meet Esau. And the scriptures tells us in verse 7 then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Sure, because the last time he left the place, Esau greatly wanted to kill him. And so you just imagine. Now Jacob was going to meet Esau. Surely the heart. Very scared. Every single step was filled with heaviness. What is going to happen to me? Is he going to kill me? Is he going to fight with me? Am I going to die here? And so Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and so he divided the people that was with him, the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands. Like two separate bands, two separate companies, so that if Esau comes to one particular company and smite, the other company can still escape. So even until this time, I still have not fully trusted in the Lord yet. He still wanted to try and circumvent the circumstances by his own wisdom and manipulations. He thought he was the one in control. But something happened in verse 9. In verse 9, Jacob said, finally, for the first time, after so long, I think it's time of deception, Jacob said these things in his to God. Right? Oh God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. But still take note, there's still something he did not say yet. He did not say my God. Right? He's still my father Abraham and my father Isaac. Stop short of my God. But the God of Jacob still stop short there. But look at his prayer here. The Lord which say unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Verse 10. Critical verse. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies. Finally, after so long in his life, 25 years after he fled away from Esau, he finally admitted, there are things in my life which I cannot control. And yes, I am truly a great sinner. I do not deserve any of this mercy which you have shown to me. You should have struck me dead, and yet I'm not dead. I give you two conditions. Firstly, I must have raiment to eat, I must have raiment to wear, food to eat. Secondly, I must come to back to my father's place safely to meet Esau. I gave you these two conditions, but now looking back at my life, I realize I am not even worthy of a single one of these mercies. I am a great sinner. I deserve it. All these things happen to my life because I choose to be a deceiver, a supplanter. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown to thy servant. So far, everything that is said to me, I found it to be absolutely faithful and true. You have not gone back on any one of your promises to my grandfather Abraham and to my father Isaac. You are a faithful and true God. And I don't deserve this truth which I have received from you, this revelation, and yet you have shown it to me. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I have become two bands. I have now become so prosperous, I can have two bands of people, two hosts of people. Now I pray thee, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Deliver me. There's one prayer the Lord could hear of someone who is not born again. Is the prayer of salvation. Now, if I say I'm a sinner, I confess I'm a sinner, will you not save me? Of course, here he talks about physical salvation, but by the time it comes to verse 24 all the way to 32, will be fully born again. And thou say, I will surely do thee good, make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for mountain. I know you are true. This is what you promised, will you not make it true? And then straight after this, again, he tried and do things by his own way. What did he do? Oh, Esau must be very angry. Right? So let me send band after band of gifts. So he lodged there the same night, took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau, his brother. So he sent gifts to Esau. But first row, what did he send? Oh, not bad, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their cords, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. And then he delivered them into the hand of his servants, and he drove by themselves and said unto his servant, pass over before me and put a space between drove and drove. So he keep giving present after present after present to Esau, and each present, wow, quite a number of animals. Now, all these animals in Singapore, we mean it means nothing, right? Because in Singapore, what is she-goat in Singapore? What is he-goat in Singapore? It means nothing. Right? But during that time, she-goat and he-goats, and all these camels and asses, they are the means by which people will measure a person's wealth and power. So apparently, Jacob was very rich. He has so many animals, he can send droves and droves of them. Right? It's just like, before I go and meet any one of you, let's say I'm afraid to meet you. So before I meet you, I give you one drive of Ferrari, and 20 Ferrari, and one big house first. Then I see, wow, this person is too angry. Let me send him another 20 Ferrari and one house. So finally, I hope that by sending maybe five or six droves of this thing, I give you 6 houses and 200 Ferrari, you'll be very happy with me. And that's exactly what Jacob did. He thinks that by doing this, Esau sees so many gifts. Well, Esau will relent and say, okay, come back. That's what he tried to do. So God has to teach him a lesson. No, it's not by your control. It's not by your will. It's not by your way in which things will be accomplished. You know the song that sometimes people like to sing, I did it my way? Most of the difficult song, I did it my way. No, God has to teach you. No, not your way. My way, God's way. That's the way. So verse 24, the senior of the commander, here, this whole wrestling incident is really an illustration of Judas. How a sinner is converted. And the first element that we see in the conversion of a sinner is that it must be first the breaking of the rule. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So a man came to Jacob and started wrestling with him. Take note, it's the man who first came to Jacob. Not Jacob came to the man and wrestled with him. The man appeared out of nowhere and then wrestled with him. So in other words, the one who started to wrestle with Jacob is God himself. Not Jacob wrestling with the man, because when we say Jacob wrestled with the man, it's as though Jacob initiated the wrestling match. But that's not the case. God was the one who started wrestling with him. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So he saw that he prevailed not against him. Of course, we know that this person who was wrestling with him, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, none other than God himself, because we see in verse 30, right, of this same passage, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. So we know that the person wrestling with him is God himself, the pre-incarnate version of Jesus Christ, a theophany. And so if Jesus Christ was wrestling with Jacob, surely Jesus Christ could have won Jacob anytime, isn't it? Jesus Christ is God. He's omnipotent. So why does he need to wait until the morning in order to defeat Jacob? Because that is exactly Jacob's life, isn't it? God was wrestling with Jacob. God wanted Jacob to submit to him. But Jacob still chose to fight back. God could have any time just destroyed Jacob, isn't it? Not worthy of any of his mercies, that's what Jacob claimed. God could have done that any time. But because God was long-suffering, he did not do it. From Jacob's perspective, all Jacob could see was this. What Jacob saw was that he was in total control of his life. All these things are against me. I must make sure I fight to the end and make sure these things do not win over me. I must be the victor. And he will use all means, all kinds of deception, all kinds of human wisdom to overcome the obstacles that he faced. There was Jacob. He wrestled with the situation and he had a very strong will of his own. He refused to give up. He kept wrestling and wrestling and wrestling. is that not a picture of us, isn't it? Even before we are born again. Please do not see Jacob as just someone who is a deceiver, someone who is very evil and wicked, and somehow God saved him. Really, what is written here is really a picture of ourselves, isn't it? Because is it not true? Even before we are born again, the picture of Jacob is our picture. Before we become Christians, we want to do things our way. We will not stop twice to think of how to deceive one another. We did things our way. Jacob is just a picture of us. And God had to initiate this wrestling match with Jacob in order to break his will. And yet, Jacob chose to fight that. It's same for us, isn't it? God tells us from his word, come and believe in me. Submit your will unto me. And we still want to fight that. We still want to rebel against God. Jacob is the same. We are the same as Jacob. And so Jacob thought he was in control throughout all his 25 years of life, from the deception all the way, even until before this incident. I am going to do it my way. I am going to prevail. And humanly speaking, it's as though Jacob indeed is prevailing. All these incidences did not face Jacob. He went to face a very crafty deceiver and still survived, isn't it? He still survived. Laban can change wages 10 times, he still survived. Now he's going to meet his brother, who also can think of a very good idea. Go and bribe the brother. It seems as though he's still surviving. God has to tell him, no, you have to submit your will to me. So why all the way until morning? Because all throughout his long life, that is exactly what Jacob is going to do. Now the Lord is going to do something. The Lord will touch the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And then the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Finally, the Lord Jesus Christ showed his power. Touched the thigh out of joint, Jacob could not fight properly anymore. Now will Jacob submit his will to God? Jacob, I could have easily done this to you anytime. Will you not acknowledge me now that I am the omnipotent God? I am the faithful and true God. I am the omniscient God. I am the omnipresent God. I am the one living and true God. I am the God of your father Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. Will you not now acknowledge me that I am now your God? That is the challenge now. Jacob, you have seen throughout your life how you have tried to use deception, especially towards the end of your stay with Laban. How many times Laban almost succeeded in taking everything away from you? Who protected your flock? Who caused your flock to be prosperous? And now, even as you come here, who protected you all the way? Have I not fulfilled the part of the condition in which you have given to me? Will you not submit to me? Come unto me, Jacob. Come unto me and believe in me. You have been a deceiver all your life. Don't be one any longer. Repent of your sin. Believe in me. Acknowledge me as your Savior. Acknowledge and receive your covenant responsibility. And so in verse 26, after the breaking of this will, what else do we have? Yes, the breaking of the sinner's will, and then we also have the submission of the sinner. The sinner submitted totally. Surrender his all to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we see here in verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And look at what Jacob said. And he said, I will absolutely not let you go. I cannot let you go. And I will not let you go, except thou bless me. It's not that Jacob was fighting with him. What Jacob was saying here is, now I recognize who you are. I know what you are trying to tell me. I cannot live my life without you anymore. I confess I'm a sinner. Don't go away from me. I want to submit my life to you. Now, will you not bless me? I accept the full responsibility of the blessings. Bless me. You are the only one who can bless me. You are my God. And therefore, you have in verse 27, and he said unto him, that is the theophany, Jesus Christ is asking unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Supplanter, a usurper, that's the meaning of the word Jacob. Someone who gets somebody by the heel and usurp him. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, Prince of God. I say word as the word Prince, Israel, the Prince of God. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You have prevailed over men, and you have power with God. You have prevailed. What do you mean by he has prevailed? Now, one thing we have to observe, Jesus Christ only said that he has prevailed only when he admitted that he would not let Jesus Christ go and ask Jesus Christ to bless him, isn't it? How did Jacob prevail with men and also with God? It's not because Jacob won the wrestling match. It's not Jacob fought with God all the way and then he survived. Because later on, Jacob will admit, if God actually had wanted to strike me dead, he could have done so, because what I did was actually come face to face with God. And by right, if I come face to face with God, I should die. He admitted it. So how did Jacob prevail with God? He prevailed with God because for the first time in his life, he says, I surrender. Jacob prevailed with God. Because now, you say, you surrender all. Therefore, you shall be blessed. Jacob, you are now born again, and therefore, you have prevailed both with men and also with God. Now, I will not only just hear your cry of salvation, but if you pray to me, I will answer your prayer and I will bless you accordingly. Now Jacob lived a life of faith. And so Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost after my name? I don't think I need to tell you my name, isn't it? You should know enough from this incident, what exactly is happening. You should know who you are wrestling with. Indeed, later on, he knew who he was wrestling with. There's no need for me to tell you your name. You should know. Don't need to ask. Now I'm going to bless you. And so he blessed him there, and Jacob showed his spiritual understanding. He called the place Peniel, basically the face of God. Peniel, God. Pen. And where we get the word face, Peniel, the face of God. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Preserved? Why? Because God is long-suffering towards me. God is merciful towards me. God preserved me and teach me this object lesson of which I am going to remember for the rest of my life. The day of my conversion. Oh, happy day that saved my soul. I will remember. Passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him and he halted. That means he was lame upon his side. And so now, for his whole life, he's going to have one memorial stone. What is this memorial stone? The memorial stone that will go on with him forever, his side, forever lame. And when you see his name part, you remember this wrestling incident. This is the day which God saved my soul. This is the day which I am born again. I am now going to live my life fully in submission. The Lord Jesus Christ, I surrender all to Him, I freely give. And because all to Him I freely give, because I honor Him, I surrender all to Him, God also will give me all that He has promised to me. And also for our memorial, for the Israelites will not eat of the seal with strength, which is upon the hollow of the thigh given unto him this day. But because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, he was strengthened. The life of Jacob. The picture of Jacob's life and also the picture of our life. From now onwards, Jacob is going to live a life of faith. His final act will be to bring his whole family into the land of Egypt, or 70 souls of them. 70 souls, why? Because Joseph was already in Egypt. And God will use Egypt as the womb to give birth to the nation of Israel. So his final act was to go to Egypt. And throughout that, he was faithful all the time. Israel, the eyes of God. A picture of our life. All of us, if we say that we are born, we are like this. I'm not sure how many of you have heard about the story of the blind Korean pastor. Now, those of you who have seen this video, last time Reverend Tom used to show this video, and sometimes the blind Korean pastor himself will come to visit the teacher churches. His name is called Johan, right? The name for John. Now, who is this blind Korean pastor? What is his story? His story is, I find, very close to that of Jacob. You see, he was a son of a pastor, a son out of 8 children. And when he was young, or when he was just a baby, his father dedicated him to the Lord. But as he grew up, he started to hate the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he hated how his family was put. You see, his father was a pastor, and as a faithful pastor, his father gave all the possessions that he had all to missions. Everyone to mission and to all the poor people. So when he looked at his father, and then he saw how his father was so poor that he cannot support his family of eight. Pastor. Himself, a pastor, father and mother, and then the 8 children he could not support. And then he saw how the people, some of them, despite his father's goodness, humiliated the father. Well, he was even more angry with God. Who was it that took away our comfortable life? Is it not God? Oh, so he got very mad with God and very mad with Jesus Christ. So as a young kid, he will go. And then he will go to the door. And then his name is called John, right? Johan. Right? So he will write on the door. There is no God. Gospel of Johan. Gospel of John. 1:1. Right? You all should know what is the Gospel of John. 1:1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you look there, right there outside, there was no God. What's this? Very rebellious, hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he grew up, he was very good in French, managed to secure a job as in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And then he was supposed to go to USA to have some job over there, right? Or the Korean embassy. And then he was so happy, he went back to the father. Father, father, I've got this job in the foreign embassy. And then the father brought him to a place, to a beach. And then the father gave him a stone. Yeah, some rock. Of course, it's not a stone, it's really a very dangerous big stone. Later on, you'll see why it's dangerous big stone. Okay, this is, just imagine, actually it's a piece of paper, but just imagine this is stone, okay? So this is a stone. So the father gave him a stone. And then the father told him, tie this string around the stone, which he did. Okay, I want you to swing it. That's why it's dangerous. Otherwise, I'll crack this. The father said, faster, faster! So he swung faster and faster. Faster and faster and faster and faster. Okay, stop. Then the father asked him, do you know what this means? He said, no. The father told him, you see, from young, you were already consecrated to be a servant for the Lord. You may think that with your life, you are running away. But you are just like this stone, which is tied to the thread. You can never run away from God. I beseech you that you should come to the Lord, you should go and be His servant, you should enroll yourself into a theological college and serve Him. So for a big moment of time, he listened. He went for maybe a few months and then he gave up. Why? Because not born again in the first place. He gave up. Wanted to go back to his job, USA Foreign Embassy. Then the Lord did something. The Lord struck him blind. First, with one of the eyes, went to the doctor. The doctor could not diagnose it, said, you go and take some rest, it's okay. But finally, totally gone. And in Korea during that time, if you are blind, they regard you as good as dead. So his whole family left him because they regard him as good as dead. His wife left him, his family left him, his daughters left him. He's left with nothing, and so he was so broken down, his will was so broken. Finally, one day, he testified that the Lord spoke to him. I'm not sure whether it's in a vision or not. You see, if it's in a vision, usually in this time, if it's a vision, please don't pray for vision, okay? Now in this time, you pray for vision. Usually, if you read the life of servants who receive a vision from the Lord, after that, they have a life of suffering, which this guy had. Okay? Then the Lord spoke to him. He said, read the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, it says, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. He was born again. Then he straight away left his home. Don't know where to go, just left his home. And then he stumbled in the streets. Somehow landed up in the train station. Train station, nobody wanted to feed him. Except for a few poor people over there, those that sell the newspaper, those that were cobblers, they fed him with the very little that they have. And these people were also suffering. But because of that, God provided him an avenue to minister to such poor people. Then the Lord opened a way for him to go to the theological college. Now he is, even today, serving the Lord. Just recently he came to Singapore, I think just 1 week ago, he came to FABC to stay. God through him used him to set up many centers for the blind, to give hope to the blind people, to speak the gospel unto them, and to give them hope in this life, and provide some career opportunities for them. He thought he wanted his own life to move his own way. In the end, he could not escape it. He was just like this stone, hiding in this tree. Just like how Jacob was like a stone, hiding in this tree. He wanted to do things his own way. God says, your life is in my hand. Will you not come unto me, Jacob? Jacob did. The story of Jacob. The story of Reverend Johan is the story of our life. If you say that you are born again. But what about those who are not born again here? Please do not think that you are here by chance. There's nothing in this world that occurs by chance. People may invite you to come here, you hear the gospel message. And then you may laugh at the gospel message. You say, oh, what is this gospel message? So simple. I don't want to believe. I just come because my friend asked me to. If the Lord has determined that you are His child, you cannot run away. Why run away from the Lord? Why will you not come unto Him? Why do you want to still hang on to your life of sin? If you hang on to your life of sin, and if you leave this world, still with your sin, you know what is going to happen to you, isn't it? It's going to be eternal judgment in hellfire and the lake of fire for eternity. But why are you here? You are here because God so loved you that He wants you to hear His word. And the word of God tells us that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but will have everlasting eternal life. What you need to do is to repent of your sin. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to live for you, to die for you. He shed His precious blood, was buried, and on the third day He rose again from the dead. And you shall be saved. That's what the Lord desires of you. desires that you be saved. Why were you dying? That is the question. Why were you dying? Don't run away from God. Come to Him just like how Jacob did. If He has willed you to be your son, you cannot run. But if He has willed you to be His son, you cannot run. And for the rest of us who are born again, may this story, true account of the life of Jacob, make us aware of how the hand of God was so gracious in our life, how gracious He was, how merciful He was to save us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. That is the words of the Hebrew. Amazing grace. Even today, right? In the psalm that was chosen, Psalm 40, isn't it? Many will see before, right? This is the second stanza. And so will trust the Lord. Blessed he who trusts in God and turns not to false strength. You have worked wonders, Lord. No one compares to you. Shall I declare each one? Your number is too great. You want no offering, nor ask a sacrifice, but you have given me a ready ear to hear. Isn't that true? You are given a ready ear to hear this account of Jacob. You ask no offerings burned, nor sacrifice for sin. So I say, here I come, as in the scroll inscribed, to do your will, O God. I surrender all. I just want to do your will, O God. To me is my delight. Your law is part of me, deep in my heart, O God. In congregation great, I told your righteousness. You know, Lord, I spoke up. I did not close my ears. Hear these words that sung today, and may the word of God which we hear preached be in our hearts all the way through our life, reminding us of God's amazing grace, our salvation. And may we say to the Lord, I surrender all. I come to you. Be my Savior and bless me.